More than 20% of people in faith communities are survivors of childhood sexual abuse. But sadly, churches are often the last place a victim of abuse can find help and healing. I'm Kelly Downing, and my dream is a church where survivors like me and so many others can feel safe, be heard, and find healing. Until that happens, this is Survivor Sanctuary, a podcast for survivors of sexual abuse who are navigating the road to healing and for anyone who wants to be a part of the major heart renovation the church needs so that our faith communities can truly become sanctuaries for survivors. Welcome to episode 128 of Survivor Sanctuary. I'm Kelly, your host today. Thanks so much for letting me be a part of your day and joining me to discuss sexual abuse in the church. Well, before I get started, just a quick reminder, you can join us on Facebook. It is facebook.com/Survivor Sanctuary Podcast. It's going to ask you a question before you can enter. If you answer the question correctly, and if you're listening to the podcast right now, you will answer the question correctly. It's going to let you in to the group and you can chat with us there, talk about your favorite episode or anything you'd like to comment on, or just share your story. We'd love to hear from you and have you join us there. You can also become a patron of the podcast, patreon.com/Survivor Sanctuary. You can become a free member and enjoy some content that way, or you can give starting at $5 a month and you'll get some freebies from the podcast there, like your own episode each month that only patrons of the podcast get to hear. And we are releasing the May patron-only episode very soon. That's patreon.com/Survivor Sanctuary. Well, now that that little bit of housekeeping is out of the way, I want to dive into our episode today. And I feel like this might seem like low-hanging fruit when I first mention it, because I've talked about John MacArthur before on the podcast. He is back in the news, or has been over the last couple of months, for more inflammatory comments that he made. But I feel like the comments that MacArthur has made this time actually directly affect survivors of sexual abuse. And so I felt like it was important to address them on the podcast today. John MacArthur, he's just like the really terrible gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. And this guy is 84 years old at this point. I feel like he should just stop talking. And I know that that sounds terrible, but honestly, I have a couple of reasons for this. And I'll start with the main reason I think that he should stop talking is because he says things that are completely inaccurate, not true, all the time. And the second reason that I think he should stop talking is because when he says things that are terrible or does things that are terrible or questionable, and people have all these questions for him, like, why is John MacArthur saying XYZ? Why did he do this to people in his church? You know, why did this happen? Scandal after scandal. The man never addresses any of it. He's like got a blinder on and he just keeps trucking along and doubling down and never going back and saying, hey, when I mentioned this, I might have been wrong. Or when I did XYZ, I could have done something wrong. And I have a feeling that the reason that John MacArthur doesn't address his critics and the reason that he never responds to any allegations against him, at least publicly, I have a feeling it's because he might see himself as this overinflated spiritual figure. And like Jesus, he just wants to be silent before his accusers. But the thing that's different between Jesus and John MacArthur is that Jesus was silent before his accusers because he was not guilty of what he was being accused of. He was Jesus. He was sinless. And therefore, he didn't need to ever apologize for anything or respond to his accusers because he was perfect and sinless and wasn't doing anything wrong. So I'm not sure if it's that deep with John MacArthur, if he's like comparing himself to Jesus and I'm going to be silent before my accusers and whatever they say against me, I won't even dignify them with a response. I'm not sure. That's one of my theories. And then the other theory that I have, and this one may be more accurate, is that John MacArthur is so completely arrogant a man that he just thinks he's right about everything and that he never does anything wrong. And the reason this baffles me is because he has been documented as doing some very, very shady, inappropriate, harmful things to people in his church, lying in sermons, lying about his credentials, excommunicating women who were trying to leave their abusive husbands, and protecting pedophiles in his church. Like, the list goes on and on. And honestly, there is so much documentation out there of things that have happened that have been truly wrong that at this point, I don't think anybody could say, well, these are just accusations against John MacArthur. We don't know if they're true. Actually, we do. We do know that some of the accusations against John MacArthur are 100% true. There's a paper trail of many things. There are deacons who've come out and spoken against what he's said and done to people like Eileen Gray, the woman he excommunicated from his church because she wouldn't get back with her abuser husband. Her husband is now serving a very, very hefty sentence in prison for sexually abusing his own kids. This woman was trying to escape from him, and I'm not going to get back into it. You can go back on episodes of the podcast. Look for Grace to You Unless You're Being Abused, because we go into more in-depth detail on the whole Eileen Gray situation. I'm just bringing it back up here to say there are documented things that John MacArthur has done that have been very, very harmful and honestly that deserve to be addressed. And the only thing that I can figure is the man is so arrogant that he feels as though he shouldn't have to respond to any allegation. He shouldn't have to respond to anybody because he can do whatever he wants. I have a big problem with this because one of my favorite characteristics of a leader, especially a leader in a church, is humility. And I don't mean like false humility and people who use it to manipulate, like we saw with the whole Mike Bickle saga at IHOP Kansas City. You know, he lived in very humble means in a humble house. He drove a humble car. And you look at that and think, okay, he's not in ministry for the money. He's not trying to fleece the flock or whatever. No, but he was instead allegedly sexually abusing people starting when he was very first in ministry and people who were 14, 15 years old. And it went on for years and years and years. So when I say humility, I mean actual humility, not a false one, but a pastor that can humble themselves, that can say, hey, I'm a human being. I'm not God. I make mistakes. And would you please accept my apology for this mistake that I made? That is something that I can get behind in any leader, not just church leadership, but for the sake of this podcast, that's what we're talking about. A person to me cannot convince me that they are a spokesperson for the Lord. They cannot convince me that they are a true shepherd of the flock if there's no humility in them and there's an inability to ever accept responsibility for wrongdoing. And I think that there's plenty of scriptural basis for that, for being the kind of a Christian who can admit when they're wrong, who can humble themselves and repent if need be. And I think that we've seen so much in the last several years come out about John MacArthur that I feel really is worthy of some public repentance. And we never get it. It doesn't even seem to ever be addressed at all. So I just wanted to put that out there as I begin this episode, since we're talking about John MacArthur. But the biggest issues that I have, one, he keeps opening his mouth about things that he is not educated in or trained in. And two, he keeps doing harmful things and then never ever goes back and addresses any of them when people ask questions. He is just silent before his accusers, except he's silent when he actually should probably be addressing things and repenting for some of them, like, oh, I don't know, excommunicating a woman who was trying to save her children's lives. Call me crazy, but that's something that he should probably apologize for. But again, we're getting back into the Eileen Gray story, and you can find all of that in the previous episode I did on John MacArthur, Grace to You, Unless You're Being Abused. But this also applies to people who have suffered from abuse, and specifically sexual abuse, because that's what we talk about on this podcast. John MacArthur is in the news once again for coming out and saying at a pastoral conference that he was a part of at a Grace Church in Kingsburg, California last month. He said in a nutshell to all the attendees there that mental illness isn't real, that it doesn't exist. And he went on to make comments about taking medication for mental health diagnoses, especially with children, because he seemed to be attacking this mental illness isn't real thing where children are concerned, because he talked about things like OCD, PTSD, ADHD, and he did address soldiers with PTSD. So it wasn't all about children, but he was responding to a question about why he wrote the book, The War on Children. Now, he originally was supposed to have this published by actual publishers, but after there were some reports that came out, and I believe it was the Roy's report that came out, these publishers backed out when the expose was done on how he didn't protect victims of child abuse and child sexual abuse. And so they're like, oh, okay, The War on Children, we're probably not going to publish that. So John MacArthur has actually self-published the book, and I don't think my blood pressure could handle reading the book. So I don't really have comments on this book, The War on Children, other than what John MacArthur has said from his own mouth. And he literally said from his own mouth, and I quote, and I'm reading from a Julie Roy's article at julieroys.com, which I will link to in the show notes so you can read the article as well. But this quote is from her article. There is no such thing as PTSD. There's no such thing as OCD. There is no such thing as ADHD. Those are noble lies to basically give the excuse at the end of the day to medicate people. And Big Pharma is in charge of a lot of that. Okay. So many things to unpack. And I will say, I am not a neurologist or a neuroscientist or a psychiatrist or psychologist or anyone with a degree in how the human brain works, but I do have eyeballs and I have read a lot about mental health disorders. I have dealt with mental health disorders, and I can say with like 1,000% confidence that no one who is trained in the area of mental health disorders is going to agree with John MacArthur that there's no such thing as PTSD, OCD, ADHD. This is reminiscent of when Pastor Greg Locke, whose name I don't even like to say out loud because he's so problematic, but this is reminiscent of him saying that autism is demonic. It's not anything to do with neurology. It's just demonic or demon possession, which is also the most ludicrous thing that I think I've ever heard a person say. And one of my biggest problems with people like John MacArthur and Greg Locke, but for the sake of what we're talking about now, we'll stick to John MacArthur. The reason I have such a big problem with these statements that he makes, the things that he comes out and says, is that I'm not being ageist here, but the man is 84 years old and he is not trained in any of the areas. I mean, maybe you could say he's trained in theology, but he does not have the expertise to be speaking about or writing books about mental illness because he hasn't studied any of this. He didn't go to school for that. He has an honorary doctorate and it is not in neuroscience or psychiatry. He does not have the expertise to be speaking on the subject of mental illnesses. If he's going to speak on the subject of mental illnesses, then he should do what, somebody like me would do and quote scientific research and experts who know what the heck they're talking about. And the reason that this is very relevant to victims of sexual abuse is that so many people who experienced sexual abuse as children can go on to suffer from mental health disorders. It could be anxiety, it could be depression, it could be PTSD or CPTSD, which many, many victims of sexual violence suffer from. These aren't disorders that anybody asks for. They're not disorders that people are anxious to be diagnosed with for some sort of attention, or I don't know what it is that John MacArthur thinks. I guess he just thinks Big Pharma wants everybody to be diagnosed with illnesses. And listen, I'm not going to say there are no problems with Big Pharma and that everything's just hunky-dory in the world of pharmaceuticals. But what I am saying is that John MacArthur stating that these are just made up imaginary illnesses that Big Pharma wants to tell people they have so they can sell pills is completely ludicrous when there is so much scientific evidence. And even if you're not a scientist, if you just have eyes and you've met a couple of people in your life, you know that these disorders are real things, especially if you have ever been victimized by sexual violence or sexual abuse as a child or a person of any age. I think what's extremely sad about what John MacArthur is saying here is, first of all, he has so many followers. He has people who practically worship the ground that he walks on. He's got his study Bibles. He's got his radio ministry, Grace to You. He's got his huge congregation and people who just hang on his every word. And he's teaching these people, first of all, to lack empathy and compassion for people who actually do suffer from mental illness. And that really stinks. But second, any person in his congregation who does suffer from a mental health disorder is listening to his words and saying, oh, it is a major noble lie that there's such a thing as mental illness. So when my psychiatrist or my doctor said, hey, you're suffering from a major depressive disorder, or hey, you have really bad generalized anxiety, or you have OCD, or, you know, fill in the blank, whatever the mental health disorder might be, these poor people now think, oh, they're lying. And this man of God is telling me that all of this is a lie and that I don't need medication. And it's just something these doctors are making up to get me to take drugs, which is ridiculous. His comments get worse from there, though. He actually said, and I quote, the most deadly thing that's been unleashed on children is medication. We're trying to make clear to parents that behavior is essentially the result of choices that kids make. And if you parent them properly, they'll make right choices. But if you blame it on something other than their choices and you identify them as having something they can't do anything about but medicate it, you are literally turning your child into a potential, well, not only a potential drug addict, but maybe a potential criminal, because they never learned how to navigate life in a socially acceptable way. So, if your child is diagnosed with ADHD, if your child is diagnosed with OCD, and you allow them to be medicated by a doctor, then you're basically turning your child into a potential drug addict and criminal. And not only that, but apparently the only reason that you're giving them medication is because you failed them as a parent. You didn't parent them properly, so they didn't make the right life choices, and it's all your fault. It has nothing to do with anything your child may be suffering from. This infuriates me for a number of reasons, but one of them is because I have family members who suffer greatly with mental health disorders. I have been very open about the fact that I have struggled with anxiety very badly since I was a child, since I was sexually abused as a child. And honestly, if it weren't for medication, I'm not sure where I would be right now or if I'd even be alive. But the idea that the medications that are prescribed to children for things like OCD or anxiety or depression are going to turn them into drug addicts is one of the dumbest things that I've ever heard. Now, I know that we've got high school and college students abusing things like Ritalin and some medications that are prescribed for people with ADHD because people want to be able to study better or they like how it makes them feel. Like, listen, there's drug abuse in the world, but in so many cases of mental illness and mental health disorders, the first line of defense is SSRIs. And so when John MacArthur was talking about turning your child into a potential drug addict and criminal because you're giving them medication, I literally LOL'd because I'm thinking, okay, so I have a child relative who has terrible OCD and his psychiatrist has been prescribing an SSRI for him and for his terrible OCD. So an SSRI is a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. And typically, if you suffer from depression, if you suffer from anxiety, that's most of the time, like 9 times out of 10, what you're going to be prescribed by a doctor is a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, also known as an SSRI. It's an antidepressant, And it works by just increasing the serotonin level in your brain. Have you ever met a person that is just positive all the time? It's not that they are never in a bad mood. It's not that they don't have problems in life or ever get sad about anything, but overall, they just have a very sunny outlook on life and they always seem to feel pretty decent. They seem to feel like, okay, I get up and I have energy and I'm ready to face the day and I get things done and life is pretty grand. I have problems here and there, but everything's, I know people like this and I envy them because I'm like, you have so much more serotonin available in your brain than I have in mine. And it doesn't seem fair. Well, okay. SSRIs help with that. They don't make people walk around like zombies, which can be a really common misconception with medications that are used for depression and anxiety and OCD and a lot of other disorders. They're just making more serotonin available to your brain. So they keep your neurons from reabsorbing too much serotonin so that more of it's available for your brain to use to make you feel better. They help with mood and they help with emotion. They can even help with sleep. And it's just something that helps people be more regulated. I never wanted to take medication. I didn't start taking medication until I was in my 30s, I believe. And it had been a long time coming. And that's not to say that every medication used for anxiety or depression is perfect and that there are no side effects or anything like that, but they don't make you feel like a different human being. They just help your brain work the way that it's supposed to work in the first place, the way that it works for somebody who doesn't have an anxiety disorder or somebody who doesn't have depression or somebody who doesn't have OCD. I mean, the list goes on and on. So I was cracking up. And no, SSRIs are not the only medications prescribed for mental health disorders, but I will say that they are very largely prescribed to both children and adults for things like OCD, anxiety, depression, the list goes on and on. And so I was laughing that, yes, you're going to turn your child into a drug addict by giving them a medication to help with a mental health disorder that they've been diagnosed with that is going to help them be able to function. When I think of one of my family members with OCD, he has struggled so terribly and it is heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking. And when he can't go to sleep at night because things aren't in perfect order, when he can't go to sleep at night because his brain is telling him that things need to be a certain way that they're not, when he cries because he can't turn off that noise in his head, that's not because of a poor choice that he's made. And it really makes me want to punch John MacArthur directly in his nose when he says things like what he said about OCD and other mental health disorders being make-believe and just a noble lie, spoken like a person who has never struggled with a mental health disorder. Because I'll tell you right now, if John MacArthur had ever struggled with OCD or anxiety or depression or ADHD, I am 100% confident he never would have said something as dumb as what he said at this conference in April. Do you know who I don't want to hear talk about mental health disorders? People who've never had them. I mean, it's different if you are a scientist who's studying the human brain and studying mental health disorders, if you're a psychiatrist or, you know, you've got some skin in the game there, then fine if you're an expert. But if you're not an expert, if you haven't studied it, and you've never experienced a mental health disorder or watched somebody you love experience it, I don't want to hear anything you have to say about it because you don't know what you're talking about. It's very easy for someone who has never struggled in that department to say, oh, this is just make-believe. It's never happened to me. Therefore, it's all make-believe. And if you would just teach your children to make the proper choices, they wouldn't have ADHD. They wouldn't have OCD. They wouldn't have depression. They wouldn't have anxiety. It's completely and utterly ridiculous. And one of the reasons it is so completely dangerous as well is because, first of all, John MacArthur is leaving so many people open to abuse, and he is at least indirectly responsible in some cases and directly responsible in others for allowing abuse of children to continue. So in that environment, in John MacArthur's church and his network of churches as well, people are being taught that they have to endure abuse. You can't leave your husband who is beating your children and being physically violent and being a horrible person. You can't leave him because that's somehow not biblical. So you have to endure abuse. And then when you reap the consequences of dealing with that abuse, which are things like PTSD, anxiety, depression, other mental health disorders, you're told by the same person who is not allowing you to leave that terrible situation and who is leaving you vulnerable to abuse, you're being told by that same person that the effects of abuse that you're suffering are not even real. So he's creating this environment where abuse can thrive and where people are vulnerable to being abused. And then when they suffer from mental health disorders as a result of that abuse, they're not allowed to take medication for it. They're not even allowed to say that it's a real thing. So, for instance, the children of Eileen Gray and her ex-husband, who sexually abused them, physically assaulted them, just the things he did to them were horrible. So if any of them have PTSD or complex PTSD from the abuse that they suffered, they're going to hear from a pastor like John MacArthur, who first of all told them they should stay in the abuse and just endure it because apparently that's pleasing to the Lord. And then they hear from him, well, you don't actually have PTSD. That's not a real thing. It's not. You've just made poor choices. And if you would make better choices, then everything would be fine. Well, I'm here to say, John MacArthur, that I have definitely suffered from PTSD and the after effects of having been sexually abused in my life. I have definitely suffered from anxiety and depression thanks to the sexual abuse that I experience in my life. And are you telling me that the only reason I'm experiencing this is because of the choices I made? As a six-year-old child, I wasn't taught to make good choices, and therefore I now have a problem, but it's not a mental health problem because those don't exist. And if I take medicine, I'm going to become a drug addict. The dumbest thing I've literally ever heard in my entire life. I always think there's no way John MacArthur could do anything else to make me respect him less than I already do. And then, like magic, he opens his mouth and says something else horrible and disgusting and completely outdoes himself. And my opinion just falters even more. Thank goodness when John MacArthur made these statements, there were pastors, even very, very conservative pastors, who came out and said, listen, bro, I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, respect John MacArthur, but this is dangerous what he's saying. It's absolutely not true. And I think that the difference between them and me on this is I don't respect John MacArthur. I just don't. To me, there is nothing respectable about a person who consistently says and does terrible things and then refuses to ever acknowledge any wrongdoing, refuses to ever apologize, refuses to ever show compassion or empathy. It's something I don't see from him. So no, I don't have any respect for him, but there are people who do and who have followed his teaching and just think he's the bee's knees. But even some of those people were like, okay, his conclusions here are terrible and it's definitely not something that you should listen to. So thank goodness that different Christian leaders have come out and condemned the things that he's said. But there are also people who have doubled down and kind of defended him. One of them, and Julie Royce quoted him in her article, is Phil Johnson. He's the executive director of Grace to You Ministries and an elder in John MacArthur's church. He says, John MacArthur has a long, long, long history of ultimately being vindicated when he has taken positions contrary to the popular narrative, which I think is a little nuts because he's not going to be vindicated by his statements that mental health disorders don't exist, that they're made up so big pharma can sell pills. Again, not saying that people aren't over-medicated at times. I'm not saying that pills have no side effects or they're perfect or the answer for everybody, because they may not be. That's not the point. The point is, mental health issues are very real. I have struggled with them for many years. I feel like a fairly well-functioning human being. But thank you, SSRIs, because if I had to deal with the level of anxiety that I had when I wasn't taking any medication, I don't know that I would be a super functioning person. There was a time where I really needed medication to help me get through. And there are times when I haven't needed it and it's been fine. It really depends on the circumstance. It really depends on the person. It really depends on your diagnosis and what you and your doctor decide and what you learn through reading about some research and sometimes just trying something. A lot of people are just against pills because they think that taking any pill is horrible. I don't understand that. It might be because I have a grandfather who was a pharmacist and I have a mom who's a nurse practitioner and I have other family members in medicine. I don't worship medicine and I don't want to take a whole bunch of medicine. It's not like that, but I always just kind of look at people who never want to take a pill for any reason, and they're willing to be sick and allow their bodies to go through horrible things just so they can say they don't take any pills. I don't understand it. It happens a lot with blood pressure, and that's really not what we're talking about, but like people who have high blood pressure and just don't want to take medication. And it's not that there aren't side effects, but the side effects of having long-term high blood pressure are horrifying. And I'm always like, just take this tiny little pill. And it'll be okay. And people are just adamantly anti-pill. So I get it. There are some people who just don't want to take medications. But when you really need a medication and it can help you function better in life, it can help you to be able to go through your day without wanting to commit suicide, my goodness, take a pill. If that's what your doctor recommends, if that's what's going to help you, then why the heck are we telling people that they shouldn't take them or that their mental health disorders are make-believe? And I mentioned the OCD thing really upsetting me because I know people who have clinically diagnosed OCD that is terrible. I mean, to the point where, you know, voices in their heads are telling them they need to do just things that make no sense, but that in this person's mind, they're adamantly like, this is exactly what I have to do. And there's nothing like it has to be done or I'm going to crawl out of my skin because that's how tortured it makes me feel to not do what my brain is telling me I need to do. Don't tell me that that is not a real mental health disorder, that somebody made that up or that they're suffering from that because they've made poor choices in life. Yeah, tell that to a 10-year-old kid, a 13-year-old kid, a 15-year-old kid. Give me a break. And I think it's laughable that both John MacArthur and this guy defending him, one of his Grace Community Church elders, are using this book from 60 years ago called The Myth of Mental Illness. Can I just take a moment to say, 60 years ago, I'm pretty sure there were also books out talking about how sexual abuse was actually good for children. People didn't know a lot 60 years ago that they know today. Like, is John MacArthur going to go to a cardiologist who has only learned from books that he read 60 years ago? No, he's going to go somewhere where somebody's up to date on research. A 60-year-old book about mental illness is a ridiculous book to be citing for any reason. That's not to say that 60 years ago, people didn't know anything or they couldn't have gotten something right. But there have been so many advancements in research, in science, in medicine. And it's just, why would you listen to someone who's in the 1960s said there's no such thing as mental illness? It makes me wonder if John MacArthur does have some kind of a mental illness. If anything, he is extremely old. I apologize if you're in your 80s. I'm not being ageist, but at 84 years old, when he's reading 60-year-old books based on really shoddy, terrible research from so long ago that they make no sense in this day and age, you should probably stop talking. Just stop saying things out loud. Does John MacArthur not have any people around him that can be like, hey, buddy, maybe you could go and retire to a nice little golfing village and just live out your final days relaxing and enjoying yourself and not talking out loud ever, where it can be heard by people other than, I don't know, your spouse or maybe your kids. But even they probably don't want to hear that mental health disorders are not a real thing. I think at this point, and he may not live much longer, but apparently he's never going to stop talking. So however much longer he lives, he's doing damage. These sermons and these interviews are recorded and they're going to live on the internet and live in print forever. Like when he's gone, none of this can be taken back. And he has so many people who follow him religiously and think he's the greatest thing ever. And they may listen to his theology and think it's wonderful. And so then therefore they're going to listen to everything he says about everything. It's dangerous. It's dangerous for survivors of sexual abuse. It's dangerous for the people in his church who are more vulnerable to sexual abuse because of his horrible teachings on abuse or lack thereof. And these vulnerable people are all being told that mental health disorders aren't a real thing. Can you imagine if somebody who suffers from like a major depressive disorder is in his church? They're trying to do their best to like live a godly life. They're trying to do their best to function in society. And this is just something they deal with. Or a person who's gone through a ton and has PTSD or complex PTSD. I mean, I think of my brother who was a firefighter. He passed away. And honestly, he passed away because of mental health issues that were never properly addressed. And I will always believe that 100%, that that's why he's not here right now, because he had terrible PTSD. He went through so much trauma as a firefighter, and the things that he saw, he described some of them to me, and they haunt me 15, 20 years later, where I still can't stand to think about some of the things that he told me. And like, I felt like I had PTSD just from hearing his secondhand stories about things that happened, and he wouldn't even share some things. Like there were things that he saw that he's like, no, I can't tell you about this because it's too horrifying. And he would wake up sometimes in just this cold sweat, and he would be back in those situations, smelling what he smelled, hearing what he heard, being physically back in those traumatic situations and unable to escape. And it tormented him. And when I think of how much it tormented him, it makes me want to die a little bit, because I don't feel like anybody should have to suffer that much. And it makes me sad that there wasn't more that I could do to help him. I tried. I did what I, you know, knew to do, but he needed help. And then you've got people like John MacArthur saying PTSD isn't real. He compared it to grief. He basically said PTSD is just grief. No, it's not grief, because grief doesn't catapult you back into a stressful situation where you're literally reliving the moment when you absolutely would rather be doing anything else with your life. It doesn't cause all of the other myriad symptoms of PTSD and complex PTSD. And this guy is telling people, this is just grief. You just have to learn how to deal with sadness and you'll be fine. It's just a load of crap. And it's so harmful for people, especially survivors of any kind of physical, sexual, emotional abuse, people who've gone through trauma of any kind. Human beings go through trauma. It's not always sexual abuse. There are so many forms of trauma that people can experience. And once you've gone through a heavy trauma and are dealing with some of the physical and emotional and psychological side effects of that, the last thing you need is a, quote, man of God, unquote, telling you that what you're suffering is not even a real thing, and that if you take medication for it, you're going to be a drug addict and a criminal. This guy just needs to stop talking. He needs to go away. I might have left a comment on Julie Royce's Instagram saying he just needs to croak already. I probably shouldn't have said that because it's not nice. But honestly, he's 84 years old and he very clearly has some issues going on, because I don't think that you could be completely lucid and make comments like this. Then again, he's been saying and doing really weird things for years. So maybe it has nothing to do with dementia or being elderly or anything like that. It could just be the human being that he is. But he's dangerous. This is not just someone who might get theology a little bit off and people might believe something that maybe isn't true about God or the Bible. This is people's lives, and it's so harmful. It's dangerous to tell people that their mental health disorders aren't real and that they shouldn't take medication. Tell that to somebody who's schizophrenic. Is that not real either? Because I've known people who are schizophrenic too and had horrible problems, just like where you thought, oh my goodness, this person, it just needs to be locked up. And then they got on the proper medication and they're living functional, contented lives now. Why would you tell somebody like that that mental illness isn't real and that taking medication is wrong? I come back to the scripture that says we're all going to give an account of the things we've said and the things we've done. And I wonder if that ever worries John MacArthur. But honestly, he's so arrogant that he probably thinks that he has nothing to worry about in that department. Again, John MacArthur, please stop talking. Somebody just put a little bit of duct tape over his mouth. I don't wish him any harm. I just really want him to stop harming other people with his crazy. And that's what I've got for you today. If you are suffering from any of the effects of PTSD, of depression, of anxiety, of OCD, of any kind of mental health disorder under the sun, I just want you to know that the people who know anything about anything know that what you're suffering is real. They know that it's not some made-up thing that doesn't exist, and they know that you taking a medication that can help your brain function the way that it was created to function is not a sin. It's not a bad thing. And I would highly encourage you that if you are going to a church where you have a pastor that believes things like this, it would be a super, super good idea to find yourself another church and to go somewhere where they're not schlepping this 60-year-old nonsense about mental illness being fake, or as in Greg Locke's church, that autism is somehow demonic and not a real neurological issue. I'd love to know what you think. You can leave a comment on the podcast. You can also go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/Survivor Sanctuary Podcast. And if you're not a part of the group there, you can answer a question, become part of the group, and let me know your experience with anyone saying anything crazy like this to you, denying that mental illness is a real thing. And you can talk to us there about anything that you'd like to chat about. As long as it relates to, you know, sexual abuse in the church, we like to stay on topic in the podcast Facebook group. I will catch you on the next episode of Survivor Sanctuary. Hopefully John MacArthur will not say anything out loud until then. I will see you then. Thanks for listening to Survivor Sanctuary with me, Kelly Downing. If you found value in today's podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes. Not only will it put a big smile on my face, more importantly, your reviews will help make it easier for other survivors and survivor advocates to find this podcast. Also, make sure you subscribe to Survivor Sanctuary wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. You can also join the conversation in our Survivor Sanctuary Facebook group. And for exclusive content, be sure to visit survivorsanctuary.com. Join me next time for another episode of Survivor Sanctuary. See you then.